We're on page Memches in the middle. Talking about laziness. And the last thing the Rebbe said is that laziness really is rooted in one's soul and not in one's body. People have not been able to, once you get the soul engaged, you can get 100% productivity out of your mind, body, and spirit. And that laziness has to be dealt with on a deeper level. And he proves to you why it's not a problem with your body, but it's a problem with your soul. As we're in the middle of page Memches. Aval nishal na oscha bochor misrapa. Let's ask you, O lazy boy. Interesting, in society they create a lazy boy recliner. Lazy boy recliner, as if that's like something like you've made it if you can buy that. How come when it comes, when you need to take any kind of trip that you want to take, and you're very happy with it, right? All of a sudden you've turned upside down immediately, and you become an industrious person, right? You have a flight to Miami that leaves at 5 in the morning. Somehow unbelievable. You can get up at 2 o'clock and everything, and you're rushing and you're hurrying, and you've made sure that there's a taxi waiting and a backup taxi waiting. It's unbelievable. And with only 2 hours of sleep, you're up and at 'em. Unbelievable. Right? Mashki mato lokum baboker. You're able to get up early in the morning. Ubeiza regoy mato malbishoscha. And just in a couple minutes, you get dressed. V'chol ma'asecha b'diyuku b'zrizus. And everything you do is precise and with alacrity. How is that so? V'lamazeh b'Shabbos, I was giving examples that fit more to what his society, obviously. V'lamazeh b'Shabbos erev Pesach, atom emar lasos es ma'asecha b'zrizus. How come on Shabbos erev Pesach, like we had last year, where you have to get up, you have to be finished eating chametz by whatever, 9:30, so early, 10:30, so you have to be davening at 7 o'clock on a Shabbos morning. You can get up so quickly. Which you consistently are so late all the time. Right? Mamish, you complain. Why is davening so early? It's at 8:30. Mamish, how can I get there at 8:30 on time? It's impossible. Right? Impossible on a Saturday morning, 8:30. Well, every morning you're here at, ranging, from 6:15 to 7. You don't go to minyan. 7:30 at getting up. It's not one person, I don't think there's one grown-up in our community that gets up after 7:30 on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Come Shabbos, all of a sudden, 8:30, which means you can get up at 8 o'clock. It's not early, it's not late enough, right? So that's how people come in to shul. Whenever they come into shul, it's like, you know, walk in at 9:30, you missed chakras, you missed, you know, person walks into shul, even if you walk in at 9 o'clock, you missed the game already. I don't want to say you might as well not have come to shul, but you've missed the most important part of davening. You missed chakras, you missed the Philip Tzibur. So for that, you know, but it's Shabbos Erev Pesach, bang, you know, everybody's there, whatever. If he was talking to adult men, he'd say, you know, for your work, you can be on time. And for Hashem, you can't be on time. I mean, and it's not, and you can't say, you know, it's like unbelievable. In the winter, I can't believe how in the winter people can't be at shul at 8:30. It's like unbelievable. You bring in Shabbos, if you're keeping Shabbos. If you're bringing in Shabbos at 4:30, okay, 4:30. So you can't be eating dinner later than 6. Okay, so I don't care how much you eat and how much you socialize. But it can't be past 10 o'clock. I mean, there's a point to how much you can socialize already. I mean, 4 hours is like a liberal amount of partying. Let's give you till 11 o'clock. Okay, 11, I mean, how much can you party, for God's sake? It's 11 o'clock already. Go to sleep at 11 o'clock. You wake up at 8 o'clock. 9 hours of sleep. 9 hours of sleep. It's like, it's 3 nights of sleep already. Okay? So it's for 9 hours. You can't get up at 8 and just get up and go to shul. It's incredible. In the summer, okay. In the summer, you bring in Shabbos sometimes at 9 o'clock. You don't finish eating till midnight. Mamish is a nebuch. You're only going to get 7 hours of sleep. It's mamish. It's a nebuch. Okay. But in the winter time, so it is, look outside. It's cold. It's cold. It's cold Monday through Friday. Sunday morning to take your kid for hockey, you could be up at 8 o'clock. Every mishigas, you can get your kid up. So it's not a point that you're biteva, you're naturally lazy. It's not that your body is lazy. Your body can do things wonderfully. It's your neshama. It's your neshama that's lazy. That's all. Because your body can do it. The proof is you can do it 6 days out of the week. So for some reason, people think Shabbos isn't just go to sleep. It's, you know, I gotta take it, I'm allowed to take it easy. So it's cause you don't want. That's all. The wanting comes from the neshama. Yeah.
Are we talking about the same neshama that Hashem gave us?
Yes.
How can that be?
Cause we're not activating it. We're not active. It's pure, but you have to click into it. You have to turn it on.
So it's not the neshama,
you haven't tapped into that neshama, and there's different levels. It's nefesh. He's saying chushas ha-nefesh, so it's a lower level of neshama. You have to click into that lower level of neshama. The neshama inside is a powerhouse. But you have, and it's raring to go. But you outside have to say, okay, I'm clicking into it. Right? I'm clicking into it. You don't want to click into it, so the neshama can't force you to do anything. There's that point between the body and the soul, which is your ratzon, which is your desire, which is a spiritual quality. And your desire is not to be in shul for 8:30. And once that desire is not to be in shul at 8:30, that neshama, as great as this, ain't gonna get you anywhere. Once you say, my desire is to be there at 8:30.
So that's physical then, isn't it?
Not physical. The physical is the arms and the legs. Your arms and legs are very capable of moving quickly. Very capable of moving quickly. They're capable of jumping right out of bed. You just have to give the order. So the lowest level of soul, the nefesh, which is the area that relates to the body, that's the one that's not engaging anything. That's that critical midpoint between the body and the soul is the nefesh. That's what he's saying. He's paragraph where he said, "Lo chulshas aguf rak hanefesh." It's not a weakness of the goof; it's a weakness of the nefesh. So that nefesh, that desire to want to move, it's not there. So you want to move. So it's not. You can't say, "I was born that way. I was born lazy," because when you want something you want to do, you're not lazy. So then, you know, people say, "I'm tired." Like, baloney. You're tired. Tired is not a factor in anything in life. When there's something you want to do, no matter how little sleep you have, all of a sudden you can do it. For the holy parnasa that Hashem takes.
Not the soul there, because what? The soul, as I said, it's pure.
The nefesh, we can damage the nefesh. Reb Chaim Volozhin talks about this extensively. The lowest level of soul, the nefesh, we can cut it off from the rest of the neshama, and it can be severely damaged. The higher levels, the neshama can never be touched. But the lower level of soul, the nefesh, can be damaged. Can be cut off from the rest of your essence, the rest of your soul. You can damage it. So that's clear. So the Rebbe very correctly shows pinpoints the nature of the problem. You can take any kid, from Mishigasim, they run like crazy. You know, to get up early to play hockey on a Saturday morning, Sunday morning, they're up and at them. To go to school, they're not up and at them. And they don't want, right? It's only a question of not wanting. And that's the lowest level of soul, right? It's a good example. Shabbos Erev Pesach, unbelievable, right? So, you do it, you know, but usually you're delaying. Osa mafahik, you do when you yawn. Pol v'nirdom, you act and you slumber. Vein kates, vein tam, vein reich lahem. There's no taste, no flavor, no. There's nothing gishmak from what you're doing normally. So what's going on? Because when it's to get up Erev Shabbos Pesach to show, it's Erev Pesach, you know, to go to Miami to do this and that, you like that. So your soul is happy with that. Misorari b'koyach, it arouses with power. And it grabs every part of your brain and body, and they all come alive. They strengthen themselves. Lo misalvin, they're not fainting. Avin v'lon nirdamim, wide awake and not drowsing off. So the question is: so v'lamaze ein avodascha avodas hakodesh kol kach ahuv v'locha ad shtekayim nafshecha ba. So why is it that your service to Hashem. Your holy service is not so beloved to you, to the point where your nefesh would totally be involved in it. Right? That's the question. That's the real question. Why is your service to Hashem not so beloved? That's the point. It's not a question of you being lazy. It manifests itself that way. Tisara lichlas chayim chazakim. Arouse yourself to live a living life of strength. Tisamis b'mokcha v'gufcha. Strengthen your mind and your body. Atchukulum yavdu b'charitzus hischaskus u'simcha. Till they all serve Hashem industriously and with incredible fortitude and joy. Okay. So he's really pinpointed the problem over here. Okay. Now he comes to the next point. So he's going to say, okay, so you're going to tell me, yeah, but really, that's not true. So I really do want to come to shul at 8:30, okay, if that's possible. So memtes, so yeshnem harbe anoshim. There's many people. Shalibam shalim Hashem. Their hearts are complete with Hashem. V'tamid mishtoik akim lavdo, and they really want to serve Hashem. This is going to be a higher level. The level before we talked before. They really don't like service to Hashem. But you have a different level. You have people, they really like Hashem, and they're longing for Hashem, and they want to serve Him. And when you talk to them, and they talk, yeah, I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna do this. It seems they're totally steeped in their service to Hashem from the bottom of their feet to the top of their heads. But the truth of the matter is, that the truth is, all they have is desire, but essentially in their essence they're low and childish type of people. Meaning to say, because consistently, even when they but and only long for and accept to do the job, but hayetzahara mazmin lahem minias. The Torah prepares for him obstacles. V'hem mispatim, and they become seduced by those obstacles. V'nidochim yad, and get pushed away right away. Right? Yeah, I'm gonna do it, right? And the first little narishkeit that gets in his way, he stops then his tracks. Whatever it is. I'm gonna come to shul tomorrow. He has like a minor cold. I'm talking about 104 fever over here. Talking about a minor cold, you know. 101, it's not a big deal. It's nothing, you know. So what do you do? What do you do? If it's 101 and you have a business presentation today, what do? You take 2 Tylenol, you go to work, right? Even if it's 103, you go to work, right? You just go to work. That's it. God, thank God. Thank God he gave us Tylenol. If it's important, if it's a trip to Miami, non-refundable tickets, right? And the whole family is booked to go. And you don't feel so well. Huh? We're not talking you're dying and you have to be rushed to emergency here. You got a regular cold, regular flu, you know. So, but it's important you make it. You take a couple of Tylenols. Like, you guys don't do that? I don't know. You take a couple of Tylenols at 6 o'clock in the morning. You take it all day long. 6, 10, 2, 6, 10. You know, you take the maximum. And you make it. You make it. So I say, oh, I'm going to start going to shul. Starting tomorrow, I'm going to start going to shul. And how do you like that? He gets a bit of a flu. I guess I can't go. Just take a couple of towels. You're raring to go.
How much effective is it going to be if you are not feeling well and you can't connect?
More effective than sleeping in bed. Sleeping in bed, you're absolute zero.
No, but you are sick.
Doesn't matter. You get.
No, you can't concentrate.
When you take a Tylenol, you can concentrate. Don't give me this narishkeit. Baruch Hashem. There's so much medicine now, you could prop yourself up with everything. And if it's not that, then it's a different narishkeit. Right? The alarm, somehow you forgot to put the alarm on. So you wake up a few minutes late. So come later. Nah, already I'm late, I'm not gonna bother to come. So come late. No, I'm not gonna come. Every mishigas, you know, it's my kid's birthday today. So it's your birthday today. You know, I can't go learn today. We're gonna make a cake and sing happy birthday. So okay, so you sing an hour before you go. No, I gotta waste the whole night on him. It's like every single mishigas in the world, whatever little mishigas. I'm not saying you shouldn't celebrate a kid's party, but that the whole day's out. Sorry, I'm not learning Torah today because there's a birthday party for my 1-year-old. Mishigas. Already know. You can call for us a month in advance. You know, it's a very important thing. We'd like you to know. It's my kid's 1-year-old birthday party. We're gonna. I don't know what you do with a 1-year-old birthday, right? Mamish, the kid, Mamish, we're not gonna do it. He's gonna feel so bad, that 1-year-old. He missed his birthday. He didn't invite all his 1-year-old friends. You know, so it's not. How can we miss this? So fine. You want to recognize the day? The 1-year-old will be very happy. You give him a cake, sing him a happy birthday. Finished. Aladik. You know. So every little Mishigas, it's like built into the system. We have so many built-in Mishigasim that you can't do anything. You get it? It's, Rabbi, I'd like to come Thursday Night Learning, but you know, this Thursday Night is the last episode of X.
X-Files?
You know, the last episode, how can I miss the last, no, next week I'll come. Like, it's, mom, it's so, if it wasn't so sad, it would be funny. That as we're saying, yeah, I really want to be better. I want to be better, but just make sure there's one little obstacle and I won't be there. Right? So that's what's happening. And it doesn't take much for the Yetzer Hara. But if you really be strong and powerful and with alacrity and industrious, you wouldn't get pushed off every after every little small or big obstacle. And with the spirit of service to Hashem that's in you. In other words, you have that neshama that's so powerful that there's no such thing that something gets in the way. You strengthen yourself, get up. You want to get up in the morning? Yeah, so what happens? Your kid gets up at 3 a.m. barfing for an hour. And you're cleaning up the vomit for a whole hour from a carpet. Yeah? Right? So Nebuch, you're only going to get 4 hours of sleep. You know, I'm sorry. You normally have 8. You only got 7. I'm sorry. So, Mama said it was a terrible night. I slept from 11 to 3, and then I was disturbed from 3 to 4, and I slept from 4 to 6. So, like, I only had 6 hours. It's like, Mama, how can I function with 6 hours, right? So, I'm sorry, I couldn't make it to Minyan today. you know, so, yeah, whatever it is, can't function with 3 hours. You know, you got a neshama that can function with 0 hours. Mamish functioned perfectly with 0 hours, right? So I said, Mamish, you know, I only had 6 hours. I'm beat. I'm so tired. I mean, you know, it's because you're not tapping into that neshama. That your neshama can go through fire. Can Mamish go through fire? Neshama can go through. And all you gotta do is want it and just turn it on. It's like an unbelievable superpower you have, and you can do anything with that power. But you know, and people, and so these people, yeah, I really want it. I really, you know, the first category in the page before, they really don't want it. They really don't care. These people, they really would like to be good people. They really want to serve Hashem, right? But they got absolutely zero ability to kick it in when it comes time to kick it in. They mamish can't turn it on for whatever reasons, right? But if they were very strong, then that wouldn't happen, right? With that spirit of the servant of Hashem that's inside of them, Asher Bahem, they can overpower everything. Well, they rise to the challenge. But since that slacking off is inside of them from their youth, they get lazy from strengthening themselves, only scabbering from overpowering over every challenge. So that's what they're saying. And even you, don't be happy just with that good intentions. If you don't uproot from you that slacking off, and you don't plant inside of it instead alacrity and industriousness. And if you could do that, then yimnoach yitzrucha, or rather, if you don't do that, if you only have good intentions, but you don't replace, don't enhance it with real industriism, then yimnoach yitzrucha, your yitzhar will always hold you back. V'chas v'shalom tika shalom, God forbid, you always will stumble. So the Rebbe's pointing out the two types of problems. It's a chulsha sanefesh. It's a weakness of the soul that either you don't want, or you just haven't been able to get yourself to take the wants and to translate it into reality.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So I don't understand it. Going maybe a little back to what
you're saying that you have a superpower on the neshama.
Yep.
On the other hand, you have to tap into it.
Yep.
So is that a little contradictory?
Why?
Because if it's a superpower, it's there. It's a superpower, therefore it should on its own, you know.
Okay, I have a laptop computer. It's the best one. My son bought me the best one you can get. Best one you can get. It's unbelievable. See, you know, you don't need, you know, wireless. I can go anywhere. It can, you know, unbelievable. What if I don't turn the power on? I don't turn the power on. That's it. I didn't put the power on. You got to push the button. You don't push the button. It's sitting there. It does nothing. I push the button on and, there's another button I forget to put. You know, the first couple of weeks, you know, these little things can stop you dead in your tracks. I said, I'm not getting any connection. Oh, you forgot to push that button too. That connects the wireless for you. Right? Whatever it is, you gotta push the button on. There's different things. If you don't do it, you have the most powerful thing there in front of you. It's just not gonna work. Right? The neshama is there. It's there, but it's buried inside. It's not it's externally, superficially, you don't notice it, right? So you have to tap in deep and move inside to catch it, to get a hold of it, to tap into that. So it's going to start, number one, with a ratzon. You got to want it. If you're not interested in serving Hashem, so you're not interested in tapping into the neshama. And there are those who are interested in serving Hashem, but now you got to have that gvura. You have to have that ability to of controlling yourself and to tapping in and to focusing on those, that parts that are in there.
It's not the question of priority that you're setting to yourself.
Priority, that's part of what he's saying. Things that you want. You don't want it. It's not a priority in your life. Same thing. If you're saying it's not, people say, yes, I think learning's important after I've taken care of 78 other things, so that it's, you really don't want it.
No, priority, yeah. It links to understanding. For example, you mentioned the things of coming late to shul.
Yeah.
I can give you an example of myself. I'm coming late on shul on Shabbat because I have in front of me the situation where I can sit with my family, with my kids, and I'm feeling each one emotion. Or
when?
In the morning.
So why can't what happened? What happened to the night?
I'm awake.
So I don't understand. So what happened the night before? You didn't talk to them the night before?
Night before, they're rushing to get preparing for Shabbat.
Friday night. So let's go last Friday night. You even if you're rushing, by 6 o'clock, you were sitting at the Shabbos table, right?
But everyone is running away.
So then you have to make sure they don't run away.
You're the Abba.
You're the father, I think, right? And you're in charge. And you say, boys and girls, this is the time we're together. That's it. This is the time we're together. Because tomorrow morning, we have to all go to shul together. That's a stumbling block. The HR has convinced you, it's not you, it's many families.
No.
Many families. That morning time, it's quality family time. It's mamish, the biggest Yetzer Hara. Quality family time. Pum Shabbos morning, when you have to daven Tashem, is quality family time. For the 7 days of the week, 24 hours, there's no time for quality family time. But when you, the one time of the week when you can really daven on Shabbos morning, when there's no excuse not to be there, and many have told me this, it's quality family time. I don't know what happened to Friday night. I don't know what happened to Friday. That is quality family time. You sit down at the table, and you guys don't have to have guests like I have to have guests. Right? But and you sit down, so once in a while, yeah, it's really great. I sit down with my kids and there's nobody else there and I can give them quality family time. 4 hours, 5 hours. It has to be an amount that's enough.
See? I'm finding myself bending towards their schedule.
That's the biggest mistake you make as a parent. They have to bend to yours. Friday night, they don't have a schedule. I don't get it.
No, they're running. I mean, they're coming.
Where are they going Friday night?
No, they, not me.
Where are they going Friday night?
When they get to get shower, they get
so
to
fine. They fine. So by 6 o'clock, it's Shabbos. You can't shower. You can't do anything. It's Shabbos already. No. Do they sit at your table for Kiddush?
Yes,
okay. So now what happened after Kiddush? So you can't tell them, here. Come here, Ilad. Here, come here. I want to talk to you. Here, you want a candy bar? Come here, sit down. Let's you know, whatever. They're not going to run away from you. Not going to run away. Here, you want $10? Here, whatever. Whatever. I'll give you after Shabbos. Give you after Shabbos. Right? I'm just saying, sit up. I understand. I understand. So now let's sit down. How did your week go? How was the terrible teacher that's making your life miserable? Tell me about your brother.
So maybe it's me.
I think it's you. I don't understand. All of a sudden, Saturday morning. Now they want
fresh. They're coming from the
kids aren't tired. You're the one. Let's say the truth. The truth is you're tired. Say the emes. You don't have the koyach to deal with it.
I am, but I'm ready to do the effort.
So you know what? If you really were, you'd prepare for it and you'd make it work. You'd make it work. You go to them, you'd make it work. You'd say, you know, let's, they're not gonna run away. Whatever you would say to them Saturday morning, you can say to them Friday night. It would work. They would sit down there. You're at the table. Talk to them right then at the table. They'll be happy. You go, how old's your youngest now?
13.
The youngest?
Oh, the youngest? 10.
10. Say, you know what, you wanna play, whatever level it's on, depending on the type of child. If you're finding it difficult, you say, you wanna play chess? You wanna play a game? I'll sit down and play a game with you. They'll come rushing to play a game with you, right? So if you have a child who's too young to talk about in sophisticated things, so play with them a game. That's perfectly fine. A young child, wanna play Ichveis, I don't know what games they have now. You play Risk, Ichveis, you play these things, and you say, and during the course of the game, you talk to him and this and that. You could spend 5 hours. If you have three, I don't know, I have 9 kids, I can do this all at a Friday night table. We could, for a couple hours, everybody gets attention, they all feel fine. It's good, it's not a problem. And in the morning, I gotta go. It's the same. I don't get it. Mamish don't get it. I had other people. They couldn't come to shul before 11 o'clock. I said, "What's going on?" Well, you know, we. What do they say? We have to be with our kids also in the morning. We sit down. We have a tea. We have a coffee. We have a Danish. All these things. I said. So why aren't you doing that Friday night? You know. It's such a simple thing. And the HR, it's like Imamish can't. For others, it's even simpler. The newspaper's there. It's a chiyuv to read the newspaper. Saturday morning, it's a chiyuv. It's an obligation. How can I go to shul not knowing if another bomb blew up in Iraq? It's Imamish. It's like Imamish. I can't even concentrate if I don't know that another guy got his head chopped off. It's like, you know, I'm telling you, there's nothing in that newspaper that's worth reading. Mamish, nothing that's worth reading. So what is it? So why can't you make it to shul at 8:30? So the bottom line is, you don't want to. And if you want to, every little, you don't. If you really want to, you'd be there. If I gave you $10,000 to be at shul this Saturday morning at 6 o'clock.
At 6 o'clock.
You'd be there.
When the kids see me back.
I promise you'd be there. You'd be there. And no matter what, even without your wife, and you'd schlep them all to shul with you. You'd be there. Right? So the answer is, it isn't worth $10,000 to you. That's all. Yeah?
You negotiating?
It's a reasonable first dollar.
That'll do it for 220.
I'm not negotiating, but it's like I can't sleep in past 8 anymore. It's impossible now with my schedule. But I wake up on Shabbos and I can't leave. Well, I choose not to leave the house to come because I have to take the kids to shul to give my wife.
So that's the next Yetzer Hara's excuse. Have you discussed?
No, it's just if I leave so you, her, you, I leave her.
I want to make sure the tape recorder hears this. So what you're saying is,
I'm not blaming her.
What you're saying is, you can't go to shul early because you have to take care of the kids in the morning. Because now, so that's why you can't make it to shul. So that's a beautiful. The Yetzer Hara has seduced you in the most amazing way, because now he's making you a tzaddik. Look at tzaddik. I'm mamish. I know you don't want to. I know you don't want to schlep the kids to shul. Who wants to schlep the little kids to shul, right? So now your mamish gonna be a tzaddik. Your wife, your mamish, she's a tzaddikas, and she works so hard. She does. and to take care of, you have all little kids and this and that, and you're going to have Rachmanis on her, you're going to bring those kids to shul, which will make you an hour and a half late to shul, and when you get to shul, you don't daven a word, because you're with them, right? But you feel good, that Amamish Amatzadik, Amamish Amatzadik. So that's one of the ways. So some Yetzirahs don't have to work so hard as others. For you, he has to work hard, Stan. For you, then say, Stan, don't get up. Yeah, you're not like that. You're not a bum. You would get up. You do get up, right? So now he has to appeal to the tzaddik in you. Oh, you tzaddik, you know, the rabbi is giving you shalom bias classes. So of course, you want your wife to feel good. So I believe your wife is such a tzaddik. So you would sit down with your wife and say, you know, dear, I love you so much and I care for you so much. But you know, I really have learned that it's really important that I get to shul there at 8:30. It's like really important. Because if not, I don't daven. If I don't daven, all the blessings don't come into the house. So dear, you know what I'll do? You know what I'll do? At Friday night, dear, when we finish the meal at 8 o'clock, dear, go to bed. Go to bed at 8. Just go to bed. Just go to bed. And I will clean up all the dishes, and I will watch all the kids, and I will go to bed at midnight. And then when it's 7:30, I have to leave. And when the kids are up at 7 o'clock, since you've gone to bed at 9 o'clock, I don't think it's not reasonable to expect after 10 hours of sleep that you should be taking care of the kids now. So why didn't you think of that one, Stan?
Because I don't have 10 years of yeshiva.
I'm just saying it. There could be many reasons why you don't think of that, right? But the simplest is you don't do enough pre-planning. You have to pre-planning. The problem is you don't think about it till Saturday morning. You gotta think about it Friday. On Friday morning, you gotta think, how am I gonna get their shul on Saturday morning? Right? And I know, how am I gonna make sure that I did a good thing and let my wife sleep a lot Friday night? Right? So that's the way you're gonna do it, right? So what typically happens Friday night? Don't tell me what typically happens Friday night, but probably what for every reason is your wife's not getting to bed till 11 o'clock, right? So you're gonna say, you know, you tell her Friday morning, say, this is the new plan for this Shabbos, dear. You first start with say, dear, you're getting 10 hours of sleep. Great! You know, and those 10 hours are gonna be from, Yachves, 9 p.m., I'm gonna give you 11 hours. From 9 p.m. till 8 a.m. 11 hours. No? That's amazing. So how are we gonna do that? You just go to bed. Don't worry about anything. But at 8 o'clock, dear, you have to be here. Cause after all, you had 11 hours of sleep. So what is that gonna require from Stan? He's gonna mommy. She's gonna have to wash the dishes and clean up and diaper the kids and this and that, which are things that you're not probably that thrilled to do. And then you might not get to bed till chveis 11 o'clock. You know, and then the kids are going to be up at 6, and you're going to be up at 6 for them, because you're going to let her sleep till 8. So then your mom is only Nebuch, you only had like 6-7 hours of sleep. But then you're going to, believe me, your wife will let you go to shul a million times. But then when that's going to happen, the kids are going to say, but Stan, you didn't get enough sleep. Right? So that's where, but you can do it. It's simple. Because it's mom, it's not an excuse. It's not an excuse, but the HR has come up with all kinds of tricks. Okay, continuing. Haim! Next paragraph. Haim devarenu asher dibarnu elecha et ko. So if these words, which we have spoken to you until now, ech kol am Yisrael, how the entire Jewish people, af hakdosh Yisrael mamtin alecha, and how the Holy One of Israel waits for you, ubiyat chalios Yisrael, and it's in your hand to be a Jew, lekadesh yisam Yisrael, to sanctify the Jewish people, ulahashkin es adon olam be'olam asher bara, and to provide a dwelling place for the master of the world, to have a place in this world which he created. If you're prepared for all that, and you realize how important this is, Odeinu maspikim l'chol ha'aretz nafshecha shloti atzel misrapa ragzoris v'charitz. So if you're still not yet enough aroused, that you're not ready, that you'll no longer be lazy and a slacker, but rather you're gonna be quick and industrious, right? If what we told you, has convinced you, or if it's not enough, rather, if everything I've told you is not enough to convince you of this, the name Cain, who, if that's the case, Shmana Moshul Melitza. Now listen to the following parable. Right? If I haven't convinced you yet. Now this parable is long. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, pages. So we'll start this. Remember in the introduction he said it's good to use parables to explain things, and it's good to go into real details, even though it's not that necessary, but you want to make it real. So this is an example of this. So we'll start the story today, and we'll end the story tomorrow, and then we'll move on to how to, the next chapter will deal with how to cure this laziness. Okay, how to cure it. Starts like this. Masa Basandler Yehudia. So this is a great bedtime story, Stan. And Moshe, now if you want, you don't know what to tell to your kids, this is a good story to tell them on Friday night. Okay? Maisa Basandler Yehudi Oni Be'eretz Yisrael. It's a story, now he's making it up, but it sounds real, right? Story with a Jewish, shoemaker. A poor Jewish shoemaker who lived in Eretz Yisrael. Shador Al Emader, who lived on a crossroads. So there's a lot of traffic. 400 and 407, place, right? Call Parnasa. His whole Parnasa came from those who were going back and forth. If somebody would rip one of his shoes, he'd fix it. He'd repair it. If a strap came off, he put a strap in. Parnasa Hoisa Mitsumsemis. His Parnasa was very constricted. He didn't make a lot of money. He was very tranquil. Next page. Gamhu, Gamisha, one of him, his wife and kids. He was making a living. Why? And why was he so happy that he didn't make a lot of money? He feared Hashem a lot. The people in his family, he taught them. That all the life of a person on the world is short and it's temporary. And the main life is in the world to come. That the soul will take pleasure with its being close to the grandeur and glory of the kingdom of heaven. And they will take pleasure in the splendor of the divine presence of Hashem. So he convinced them of this. So what does it help all the money that a person has? If he's not around, if he wastes time, he doesn't serve Hashem, he doesn't get close to Hashem, right? So he taught his children well. Lamdan Lahaye wasn't a big, smart, scholar. But according to his needs, gam bayom, gam balayla, day and night, kol shosha upon him, whenever he had free time, lamed vispal Hashem, he learned in davened Hashem. Right? We're talking about a nice, good, plain, simple Jew. A Pasha Jew, what the Rebbe defined as a simple Jew, right? You believe that the main thing is serving Hashem, and that's what's important, right? V'yesha sher tisora nafshav dislaiv ma'ed l'spal l'shtapech l'Hashem ben mafriyam of Albo, and there were times that he would arouse his soul and he'd be on fire to daven to Hashem and pour his heart out with nothing stopping and confusing him. V'yotza mi'beso hatzar mi'deroso basched erechad al yar. And he would go out of his house, his very small house, and his one-room house, and it's hard to daven there. You go into the fields, asher lo rachman, that aren't too far away from him. And he would daven there, he'd spill his heart out. That's what we do from time to time. Ha'ovrim v'ashavim kashero merachok, and when the passerbys would look at a distance into the field, and they say, v'ne'ish omeid panav bo'arim, and they see a person there standing with his face on fire, davening to Hashem, Mishabeach, praising, Modeh, also praising, Mispalo, and Davening, Medaber Hashem, and speaking to Hashem, Kilugam, Be'enei Abasar, Shalom, Ros, Hod, Kisech, Vodofanav, he was davening as if his own flesh and eyes, flesh and blood eyes, were mamish seeing the throne of glory. See, now as you learned, B'nei Machshava Tov, you appreciate all these little nuances of how all these things a person should do. So people would look at him, people straight would see him davening. Talmud, they'd wonder, probably they'd be afraid. It's unbelievable. They'd be in awe of such a guy. Aval Makirov Yadukvar, but his friends knew him. Vramar Bevadaya Sandler Achasidhu. This is the righteous shoemaker. Gichen Yechananu Makirov Yemen Agoyim, because that's what his friends call him, those who knew him, the righteous shoemaker. So we've defined who he is, and tomorrow we will discuss the story and the challenge he had, and how it's very appropriate. Our righteous shoemaker, which obviously, hopefully analogous to each and every one of us, is this righteous shoemaker.